D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform.
And our declaration says that next to life itself, the most important right we have is liberty.
You can't have freedom in the midst of chaos. But those stealing our freedoms have been undermining America's most basic societal structures for decades.
The left is all about undermining the family so that they can institutionalize their new world agenda.
We expose the far left's assault on the fundamental cultural unit, the family, on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. This week, we continue our Defend America 2020 series. In the fall, we will have a watershed national election, one that will determine whether America remains free as a constitutional republic or whether we capitulate to the siren song of socialism, identity politics, and the tyranny of political correctness. On today's program, we will shine a light on the indispensable foundation of our freedom, which is currently under attack. And we begin with a probing look at the coordinated assault on our most basic societal structure, the family. The intentional destruction of the family has been part and parcel of the agenda of the radical left since its beginning, and they've made some of their greatest advances in recent years. Our own David Wright has more.
We live in an absolutely unique time in history. One of the things that makes the early 21st century absolutely unique, and not in a good way, there's been the breakdown of the family.
The left is all about undermining the family so that they can institutionalize their new world agenda.
What Marx said, if you look at his manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, he said, we must destroy the family.
There is an ever-present threat seeking to destroy the family in America today. What is behind this attack on one of the most important pillars of society?
Why destroy the family? Because it is the bastion of private wealth. If you want to destroy wealth, you got to destroy the family that passes it on and creates a legacy. That's how wealth is controlled, is through the family. So attack the family.
And here's the dark, insidious, frankly unsettling presupposition of Marxism or any of the other progressive socialist ideologies. In a Marxist, secular, atheistic worldview, if there is a utopia, we can usher it in, and we must. And we must deal with those who stand in the way of the utopia that we're creating. That can be very dark.
The strategy to dismantle the family in America is very clear. Simply look at the 1958 book, The Naked Communist. The author, Cleon Skousen, lists 45 of the current communist goals. Goal 26 reads, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Goal 41 reads, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents.
And we know that the breakdown of the marriage culture has been the fuel for the demand side of abortion. Non-marital sex increases the rise of crisis pregnancies that frequently result in abortion. And so a bad vision of marriage places more children at risk.
But what is abortion? It's the intentional killing of a group of human beings that stand in the way of something we want. Now, we don't like to refer to it as that, but if we're actually very honest, abortion itself has its roots in eugenics, which is what was involved in the Holocaust. From the very beginning, the abortion movement, going all the way back to Margaret Sanger, we know part of her goal was to exterminate minorities and what she referred to as weeds, youthless population groups.
Planned Parenthood, if you go back to its founder, Margaret Sanger, the woman who gave birth to it, it was always about eugenics. Margaret Sanger presented her work to the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, and so there are pictures of her talking with them, and she referred to immigrants and blacks and certain people as human weeds.
Another method of attack comes in the form of labeling anyone who disagrees with a certain viewpoint as a bigot, hater, or homophobe. For instance, look at what is happening within the transgender movement.
Now, for instance, gender, male and female. Males are XY chromosome males, and that's undeniable, it's unchangeable. We live in a time where in America and the West, people really don't even have the moral courage to say, this is a man, that is a woman. And in fact, if you insist on believing in what we call a binary view of gender, male and female, you're called a hater, transphobic, a number of pejorative names.
Well, the resolve of the radical LGBTQ movement is not the end game of just treat us the same. You know, live and let live. That is not their objective. Their agenda is to vilify the opposition, silence them, and to destroy them. So they think they'll be happy and satisfied when they are silenced and destroyed. That is their end resolve. And until that's accomplished, we will not see any relief against persecuting Christians and people and churches and ministries proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of transformation through faith in Jesus Christ as promised by God's word.
And the transgender movement presses onward, with some states even teaching curriculums on transgenderism to young children. Sometimes starting in kindergarten, all the way up through the universities.
It is a literal spiritual genocide that, as I speak, is taking place. It is so twisted with the radical LGBTQ to young children all the way down to kindergarten, convincing them that they can change their gender with all kinds of hideous sexual explanations of things that the average person hasn't even thought of. This material is very dangerous.
When we send out best and brightest off to colleges and universities, what they're encountering is an indoctrination that is very harmful, I believe, because it's not teaching young people how to think. They're not learning how to think. They're learning the politically correct answer to just about every issue in society. And you think about it, it's scary because they're going to be the leaders of tomorrow. And they're growing up or being indoctrinated in a culture where they're being told that biology means nothing, that, you know, there's no such thing as biological differences between males and females, or you can be whatever you think you are.
Despite the happy face that many on the left try to put on a biological male becoming a supposed female, or vice versa, family members of transgenders can see the reality.
When I was 9 years old with my dad, I was in the kitchen actually doing dishes, and he had asked for me to come out and sit with him, said that he had something to say, and he just had said to me his desire to become a woman, and how he had struggled with this from the time that he was a little boy. So as a 9-year-old girl, in my mind, I'm just thinking, why is he telling this to me? I didn't understand. And immediately, I just thought, this is, can anybody else see? You know, that he's hurting. When my father had told me that, I immediately actually started to look somewhere else for a father. Because I thought, if he, you know, he's not there, who's going to teach this little girl, you know, what to look for in a man? When it comes to dating and a husband and getting married, and what does that look like? The world can tell us to look at our gender and that we decide who we're going to be, but in a sense, I see that as rebellion towards our Creator. God is the designer of who we are.
Many experts are seeing the transgender movement as the tip of the spear today in terms of the far left agenda to destroy the family.
They're not going to have a revolution over economics, but we still want that world. So we're going to do it through a cultural mechanism. We're going to fight the battle by redefining. So the methods are not changed. We have to destroy the family. We have to do what Lenin said. We have to secure the commanding heights of culture so that the artillery we fire from the mountaintops is our artillery.
We saw it in the past. We saw it in the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin. We've seen it with Mao Zedong in China, even Adolf Hitler in Germany. It was all about, give us the children, and we will reshape the future. That mindset is the same mindset, unfortunately, that we see being practiced by the far left in the United States. And it's a serious threat to civil rights and civil liberties.
What is the strategy to dismantle America's constitutional order and remake America into a socialist utopia? And who exactly is determined to impose their liberty-crushing rule on our land? The new publication, The War on America by Dr. Frank Wright, is an insight-packed guide that reveals a clearly defined and long-running battle plan. This plan stands against the Word of God, and if unopposed, could dismantle the very fabric of American society. Contact us today to receive your copy of the booklet, The War on America, to discover what it will take to stand for truth and defend your freedom in this year of crisis.
As you've just seen, the assault upon the family is widespread and multifaceted. We have gone from normalizing adultery, fornication, and divorce to redefining marriage to include persons of the same sex. And now we're seeing a cultural denial that biological sex is even a significant category at all. This is not just some random development. This is a strategic agenda enacted by those who want to subvert this nation from within and remake it into a supposed secular leftist utopia. And they have been successful in doing it because too many of us do not understand real freedom or its cost. Dr. D. James Kennedy elaborates.
What has happened to that burning flame of liberty that so moved the founders of this country? I'm afraid the flame is burning very weakly in America today. Liberty! Abraham Lincoln said, "Our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in what? In liberty!" And our Declaration says that next to life itself, the most important right we have is liberty. And if you look at the Bible, you will find what many scholars agree to be the major theme of the entire Old and New Testaments. It is liberty. Freedom. Did you ever think about that? After our first parents, by their sin, lost their lease on paradise, and in the bondage and tyranny of sin, they were cast out. We go on to read how the people of God, because of their rebellion, found themselves in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. Finally, God sent a deliverer, and they were released. And later we read how again they rebelled against God and they sinned and did what was ever right in their own eyes. And Nebuchadnezzar and his mighty hosts from Babylon came and took them away with fish hooks in their lips. And they served the Babylonians for 70 years. Or read the book of Judges. And over again, the people sin and they come into prison, the prison house of some despot nation around them. And one after another, and finally God sends a deliverer. They're set free. They sit again. They're in prison. They lose their liberty and freedom again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It's absolutely incredible. My daughter read the book of Judges recently, and she said, "I'm amazed how stupid those people could have been to keep doing the same thing over and over again." We're doing it. I said, "Jennifer, it doesn't happen in the space of time that you read the book. It took many, many years. But the message is clear. Turn away from God and you end up prisoner either of your own sin or of some tyrant." And so the whole Old Testament deals with that. And then along comes the great emancipator, Jesus Christ, to set men free. He said, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." One great truth that Americans have forgotten, I believe, is that the source of the liberty that we have has come from one place only. It has come from God. It has come from Christ, who alone can make people free. And everywhere that people are free, it is because believers have been willing to put it on the line and to stand up before the tyrant and say, "No farther shalt thou go." Having been made free in their souls, that creates an irresistible urge for civil and political freedom, especially wherever the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the reformed gospel of Christ, in all of its emphasis upon grace and the cross, wherever that has gone, it has been followed by civil and political liberty. And we are very quickly throwing our religious liberty overboard. And you should also remember that when religious liberty goes, other liberties follow. There are many in our country that have sunk so far below religious liberty that they're not even up to the element of religious toleration. There are many in this country today that won't even tolerate religion, most especially Christianity. I think of the father of modern education, John Dewey, the father of modern progressive education, who is so lionized in our country today and has been for many, many years. And yet, Dewey and the various leaders of the progressive education movement have said, quote, "There is no God and there is no soul. Hence, there are no needs for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded, then immutable truth is also dead and buried. There is no room for fixed natural law or moral absolutes." And that statement made by Dewey could just as easily have come out of the mouth of Hitler or Marx or anyone else like that. By the way, I asked someone today, what was communism all about? What were they trying to do? Was it something to do with economics? He wasn't really sure. And I said, well, let me give it to you from the lips of Karl Marx himself. When asked by a reporter what he was trying to do, he said that he was attempting to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Notice the order of priority. Yes, my friends, I think Americans have come to the place where they take their religious freedom far too much for granted. And today, many people look upon religion as an evil, not even to be tolerated, but to be removed. Folks, when our religious freedom disappears, all other freedoms follow soon after.
As you have just seen, Karl Marx's goal was to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. And one of the necessary elements of that was the destruction of the family. So how has Marx fared? Well, we have riots in our cities, speech codes on campuses that punish people for calling men he and women she, Christians who disagree with same-sex marriage called up before tribunals, 40% of all children now born outside of marriage and a traditional family structure, an epidemic of drug overdose deaths, and a lockdown of our churches at the same time that hundreds of thousands gathered in the streets calling for police forces to be disbanded. And this fall, we will have an election that will either counter these trends or will entrench them even further to the point where there may be no return. That's why we have a vital resource we want to share with you. It's the short book, 7 Steps for a Nation in Crisis. Does that sound like us? It's by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. It contains meditations and prayers on the 7 steps necessary to restore America and maintain God's shield over it. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. In this concise book, Drs. Kennedy and Newcomb examine 2 Chronicles 7:14, which tells us, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Our land can be healed, but it will require the actions of Christians like you and me. Find out what we must do in 7 Steps for a Nation in Crisis, which we will send to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation. And if you are able to give a donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus the DVD set, A Nation Worth Fighting For. This unique collection features 4 stirring messages from Dr. D. James Kennedy on America's Christian foundations. You heard just a small portion of one of those messages, The Cost of Freedom, on today's program. Get the rest of that message plus 3 others detailing the Christian foundations that guaranteed freedom and made America the most prosperous nation on earth. Foundations that are now being eroded by the radical left. As you donate, you will be helping us to get the truth out, which is especially urgent during this critical election year. And you will also be helping us to produce and air our Defend America 2020 special, which we plan to broadcast next week. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Perhaps you have heard of the so-called cancel culture. These days, when someone steps outside the boundaries of the new and ever-changing politically correct orthodoxy, the strong-armed enforcers of the radical left cancel them. This means they are called out and labeled as unacceptable, being forced to submit themselves to a humiliating round of apologies and re-education, prostrating themselves before the intolerant left. Recently, J.K. Rowling, one of the 10 best-selling authors in the history of the world, through her wildly popular Harry Potter series, was among the latest to get canceled. Her supposed crime? Transphobia. According to the leftist gatekeepers of the cultural discussion, transphobia supposedly means hatred toward transgender people. You see, Ms. Rowling had the unmitigated gall to defend using the term women to describe only, well, women. She was reacting to one of the sillier recent practices among the politically correct, which is using the term people who menstruate instead of the term women. This is deemed necessary since in our enlightened times, the term women also includes those who consider themselves one, even if you happen to have male organs and an XY chromosome pairing. Rowling weighed in on this phenomenon somewhat sarcastically in a recent tweet saying, "People who menstruate, I'm sure there's a word we used to use for those people. Someone help me out." She was immediately informed by the woke online masses that her tweet was hateful, disgusting, and intolerant, with one offended soul going so far as to say to Rowling, "I hate you." All of this for affirming an obvious biological fact. What Rowling realizes is that using the term women for males who self-identify as females actually diminishes women. If there's no such thing as biological sex, and instead we are just whatever gender we decide to be, then there is no objective basis for protecting women, for making women equal, or for respecting them. It means that there's no such thing as women at all. This is cultural Marxism at work, endeavoring to remove all societal distinctions in an effort to turn us into one gelatinous controllable mass. Standing against this nonsense is not only necessary for a better world, it's necessary for maintaining the bare semblance of mere sanity today. According to the scripture, God made them male and female. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. Join us next week for the special program, Defend America 2020.
Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.